Hello, Excelsior family. This certainly is not how I thought we would be meeting this weekend, but I want to thank you for understanding why we are not gathering. And thank everyone who's been so supportive and encouraging this decision, especially our church chair, Matt Richardson, who was diligent and prayerful in his leadership. We are truly blessed at Excelsior Covenant. You know, there haven't been many times in my life when it felt like the whole world focused on one event, but this is one of those times, and I imagine you've experienced this as well. I was just a little boy when Kennedy was shot, but I remember it very well. And then the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., the Challenger disaster, Y2K, 9/11, and now, of course, this invisible menace called coronavirus. No matter where we found ourselves this week, it was like a giant elephant was standing in the room with COVID-19 written on its side. And even in our corner of the world, far from the viral hotspots, people have been running scared, hoarding toilet paper and frozen foods, hunkering down for the long haul of isolation. Sporting events and concerts canceled, schools closing or at least extending spring breaks into April. And the church, of course, trying to figure out how best to move forward, to cancel or not to cancel. At times like these, it would be easy to panic, to give into a spirit of fear, isolate ourselves, pull the doors closed, and hope for the best. And this is a time to be prudent, to be wise in the face of invisible evil, because with a disease so virulent, we should be careful and practice good hygiene, as we all know is correct. But this whole thing about social distancing, of limiting or shutting down normal daily activity, that is so foreign to us. And when it comes to church, it doesn't even feel right. Aren't these times when we need one another the most? Listen to what Ed Stetzer from the Billy Graham Center at Wheaton College wrote in a recent article. He said, "We, the church, want to gather as a faith community, particularly in times of tumult. This is good and healthy. But sometimes love tells us that perhaps for a season we must forsake the gathering together of the saints because of our love for our neighbor. We know that meeting together could cause harm to people in our congregations, our communities, and our world. We know, for example, that if the coronavirus spreads, older adults and those with serious chronic medical conditions, such as heart disease, diabetes, and lung disease, are at greater risk. Look around your congregation," Stetzer says. "Likely you have people who fall into this category. Even if it seems as though everyone is healthy, the reality is you may not know for sure. Our job as church leaders and as a family is to take care of those at risk among us. But the question still remains for many. Why can't we just meet and trust God? Because of something medical experts call social distancing, intentionally avoiding gatherings where healthy and infected people may mix. Limiting major gatherings is an effective tool we can use to care for our communities by limiting the spread." Stetzer then goes on to say that if we have to not meet for a while, it won't last forever. God will bring us back together, stronger and more on mission than ever. And while we're not meeting, we can engage our neighbors, checking on them, particularly those most vulnerable to this disease. Like Stetzer says, it truly feels like the better part of compassion for us in this season is to practice social distancing, but it won't last forever. So together with our brothers and sisters, as well as our neighbors and friends in our 5x5 and across the world, we can stand united against this disease. And as followers of Jesus Christ, this is not for us to give in to a spirit of fear and isolate ourselves. If anything, it's a time for us to think even more expansively of how we care for one another in the name of Jesus. God never abandons us in times of trouble. The psalmist writes in Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3, that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And so, we're also called to be an ever-present help to those around us in times of trouble. I encourage each and every one of us to pray and ask the Lord to show us how we can share the love of Christ then effectively. Think about who you know in our church or your neighborhood who truly is isolated or shouldn't be going out in these days, those whose health may be compromised, young or old, and our elderly, particularly many of whom are actually quarantined in their apartments. Are you in a position to run errands for them? You can certainly pray. Phone calls, though, and cards can also make a huge difference in people's lives, especially if they're living in fear or experiencing profound loneliness. These are inconvenient times for sure, and we're going to miss being together for these weeks. But let's take courage from a loving God who promises to never leave us nor forsake us. Our lives and our future are in the hands of our loving Savior. Would you pray with me? Oh God, these are strange times, unlike anything most of us have ever experienced. And there are some among us, I'm sure, who are consumed by fear. But Lord, you've taught us that we never need to be consumed by fear. You tell us that there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. And you love us so perfectly. So thank you, Jesus, for the gift of your Holy Spirit to carry us through these days and to give us courage and insight into how we might best continue, even if we can't meet, to be reaching out and caring for one another with the love of Christ, to have eyes to see those who are in need and who are suffering. We know one reason there's so much fear in the world is because many in the world don't know your peace. And you call your church, Lord, you call your beloved children to share the gospel of salvation and hope that extends from now on into eternity. So, Lord, give us strength, encouragement, and joy. May there even be moments redeemed from our regular activities, almost like a mid-year reset, to get our lives and devotion back on track with you. May this be a season of renewed prayer and reading of your word, of looking beyond ourselves and serving the world you created and died to redeem. And as I pray specifically for your beloved family at Excelsior Covenant, Lord, may we continue to grow deep in our devotion and love for one another and for the community you've called us to serve. Hear us, Jesus, as we lift up our dear ones to you, those who need to know your presence and healing. Lord, bring each of them to mind and help us to care well for one another. And hear us as we pray with honest hearts the prayer you taught us. Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.